6 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Wednesday morning, Northern Colorado. Oof. Last night was something else, man. Well, Angel, you were right. San Diego State won. I thought, man, the Rams are up 44-30 at halftime, and I was like going to be excited to come in today and say, Angel, I told you so, man. You got to believe. You got to believe this Colorado State Rams basketball team. But then something happened in the second half. It wasn't that San Diego State won, which they did. It wasn't that they scored 41 points, which, I mean, that's not, you know, they scored, CSU scored 44 in the first half. It's not that. It's that the Rams scored 11 points in the second half. I mean, there were a lot of issues with this game. Ladie was doing everything he wanted, especially in that second half. He had 27 points. It's got to be close to his career high. I don't know what it is. And it wasn't just that, though. It wasn't that Joel Scott fouled out, and then a couple of plays later, Patrick Cartier gets hurt, leaves the game, hope he's okay. And then Nico Medved gets a technical foul. That was like one of the most, that's probably the most upset I remember seeing him. He was furious. Reason to be. There were some pretty jacked up calls late in the game, but that wasn't the reason you lost. It was that the offense, I mean, just nothing was falling for this team. I mean, just outrageous numbers. 8 of 25 from the three-point line, 19 of 53. 19 of 53. I mean, just in comparison, you know, you had San Diego State 5 of 17 from the three-point line. Again, their percentage wasn't better than CSU's. They didn't shoot a lot of threes. They were 24 of 54 total, but they were getting in the paint. Ladie just started doing exactly what he wanted to do, and that's how CSU beat him last time, was keeping, they didn't keep him out of the paint. They kept the entry passes from getting to him. That was not the case last night. And then, you know, with what 5 minutes left or so, yeah, everybody, all your big men are gone. Memba fouled out as well. The scoring, just, I cannot believe what I witnessed last night in the second half of this game. I don't know that I've seen an uglier performance from a legitimate good basketball team. I've seen bad halves before. I've watched some bad basketball games before. I'm not talking about Northern New Mexico either, Angel. I've seen some bad stuff, but not from a team that spent a good chunk of the season in the top 25. From a team that, I mean, yeah, they're going dancing. Yes. I just don't remember seeing a pretty good basketball team play that badly in a half of basketball. It was outrageous to me. And I don't know where you start. It was just, I mean, can you chalk this up to one of those nights? I mean, they had two really, really disappointing losses this year. They've had some interesting games for sure. And there was the stretch before they went on the run, which started by beating San Diego State. They had some, you know, they lost at Utah State. Okay, we're not saying that that's really disappointing. That's a tough place to play, and that's obviously the best team in the conference right now. Maybe the Cowboys will have something to say about that tonight. We'll see. Crazier things can have happened. The Boise State loss, well, I don't know what Boise State's home record is now, but at that time they'd won like 20 in a row, so okay. Sucked. Difficult place to play against a team that really doesn't want any part of losing at home. You struggled against Air Force, but you still won. That happens all the time. Still, that three-game stretch was, that gave me cause for concern, but not majorly. I wasn't freaking out about it. Then you beat UNLV, another close game. Then you're back on the road. You lose to Nevada, and you lost by more, you know, double digits in that game. And that was, again, concerning. The Wyoming game. That was very concerning. You're up 11's the key number. 11 is the key number. You're up 11 with a minute 10 left, and Wyoming wins? You would have thought that there was a glitch in the system. The Matrix, Angel. So that was rough. Then you kicked butt. You went out. You got after it. You know, you beat San Diego State at home. Again, you didn't let Lede get the ball. He didn't get it comfortably. And you know the Aztecs are watching that film. How do we change that? That's Dutcher's a good coach. Fresno State finally got a win on the road. Smoked them. Good. Home against Boise State? Damn, that was a hell of a performance. I thought Boise State might win that game, actually. But the Rams started off with a bang and kept it going from the first half to finish, 75-62. Go on, you know, you take care of San Jose State at home. No issues there at all. And now at San Diego State, it's not the biggest shock in the world that they lost. You predicted they would lose. A lot of people thought that could happen. The Aztecs were 5.5-point favorites. So it's not the loss that Rams fans are upset about today. That's not it at all. It's the fact that you were up 44-30 and you end up losing 71-55. 55, Angel. They scored 44 points in the first half and you ended the night with 55. Shots weren't falling. They were settling a little bit there for not just threes, but, you know, tough outside shots. It was absolutely brutal. Josiah Strong finished with 14 points. He was 3 of 7 from the three-point line. Isaiah Stevens, 11 points for him, 5 assists. Not really production from your bench. Not a lot of production from your bench. And foul trouble, injuries, things like that. Just, that was a rough one. That's disappointing. So my poll question this morning, I got up early. I get up very early. And I posted, all right, how many teams are getting into the Mountain West? We were going to do that as our poll question, but I changed it on Twitter. Which loss is the most disappointing to you? The way the Wyoming one went down or the way the San Diego State game went down? This was a prime opportunity for the Rams to get into first, I mean, to edge closer to first place and edge closer to winning a regular season title. And you had it. You were rolling. Second half adjustments, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to bring on Kevin Lytle from the Colorado, who was at that game, and get his thoughts of, you know, where what he thought really went wrong offensively for Colorado State. But boy, and then again, in that last like 5-6 minutes, it felt like once San Diego State got the lead, it was torture watching this game. I mean, I felt like I was in, you know, strapped down in a chair and just forced to watch one of those videos that alters your brain. That's how I felt. I couldn't stop watching because it was like for a long time, it's like, okay, if you could just finally get some scoring, you might be able to overcome a little bit of what Lede was doing in the paint. You might, but you just time after time after time after time, offense wasn't there. So this is concerning, and this is what I went back to this last week when, you know, I had some of those Rams fans, the I think toxically positive fans are like, that's basketball. That was not basketball. I almost tweeted that out last night. I'm not that mean, Angel. Where's my it's basketball guy last night? I can say it on the air. I guess that's just as mean. Probably worse. Yeah, sorry. What are you going to do? Should be nice because it's the day of love. It's Valentine's Day. But this is a loss that you have to look at and you have to be concerned about it. And if you're not concerned by it, then we're watching a different thing take place here. The Rams are a good basketball team. Are they a great basketball team? Great basketball teams can still lose a game like that. They can still be up 44-30 and lose. It is college basketball. You can see comebacks, 14-point comeback. That can get erased quickly. But not throwing any punches back when the Aztecs were just rolling downhill. I mean, that momentum that they got once they took the lead, I don't know, was that at the 11-minute mark? Was just, you knew it wasn't going to end in a positive way. You just thought maybe the Rams would go down swinging a little bit. And they'd be in the, you know, they'd score at least maybe 20 points. You know, maybe make this a 71-65 game or something like that. Just a rough night. Nick Clifford had 10 points and 5 turnovers. He was 1 of 5 from the 3-point line, 4 of 11 for him. And meanwhile, I'm watching the game after that, New Mexico and Nevada. You know what? Let's get to it. The good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good is that New Mexico-Nevada game. Wow. That was a wild game. It's what I was kind of hoping to see with CSU San Diego State. Although I would have taken the Rams easily winning. That would have been nice. But last night, comes down to a last-second shot. New Mexico wins 83-82. They are now, well, again, in the standings, you have Utah State at 8-3. Again, they play Wyoming tonight. New Mexico's 8-4. San Diego State now 8-4. Boise State 7-4. UNLV 6-4. Now the Rams have lost their 5th. Still possible that they could win the regular season championship. Absolutely possible. You rooting for the Cowboys tonight, Rams fans? Probably should be. I don't know if you will, though. The bad? Carmelo Anthony. How long is this clip that we have? Can we play some of it? He's on a podcast with Dwayne Wade. Okay. Carmelo Anthony is doing his best to rewrite history and make me give up on my whole respect Melo's greatness as a Denver Nugget. Here's what he had to say about the trade to the New York Knicks. Here's Melo.
Talk to me about it. What are you thinking? Did you want to go there?
New York never was the place, though.
Like, oh, okay.
It was people think that, like, I went in there and was like, get me out of here to Denver. Like, that never was the case.
What? Never was the case. You wanted to go to New York. Everybody knew that. That was the thing. I'm going to bring on Chris, don't call me Christopher, or Christopher, don't call me Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Let's get his, you know, recollection of how those events went down. The ugly, 11 points. 11 points for the Rams in the second half against San Diego State. There it is. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Sorry, I'm a little negative today. I'm just a little negative. I have high hopes for these Rams. I'm a big Rams supporter, no question about it. But that game took the life out of me last night. Just absolutely robbed my joy. And I don't know how else to say it. I can take losses, and I can do the whole, oh, are we worried about that loss thing? Yeah, great, but this was something else. I don't like to be that guy, Angel, that's like, they gave up. They laid down. They laid down. They lay down.
I have no idea. That has always confused me.
Yeah.
I remember learning that in sixth grade. I still don't.
No, nobody knows. I don't think anyone knows. Who even makes words, right? Why do we have to follow your rules, word maker? Well, the alphabet, but why? Why do we have to follow your rules? The Rams weren't even following their own rules. I sensed the frustration from my television with Nico from Nico Medved. He was absolutely furious. And I bet you that was a mix of everything. There were some bad calls. There's always bad calls. But I'm not that guy. I'm never going to be that guy.
That's basketball.
Yeah, that's basketball. I don't like the whole, like, well, who's the refs tonight? I mean, I know Joker has his arch nemesis. Mm-hmm. What's his face? Billy Bob. Which I think he got. Brothers.
Yeah.
Tony Brothers.
Tore his ACL.
He's out for the season, man.
Yeah.
Why did I chuckle at that? That's not nice. Why did I chuckle?
But it's, you know, we just have the
you just
Tony
don't hear
Brothers
the refs is out for this.
Jokic.
Like, you just don't hear this official is out for the season. You just don't hear that.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
they're usually pretty tip-top shape people.
I hope he's okay. I hope he heals up. I hope the best for his health. I seriously do. But when I just, the breaking news, this a referee out for the season, it just sounds weird. Sorry I laughed. Sorry I chuckled. I don't want to do that.
I don't think he's listening.
You never know, man.
He might be.
You never know.
On a beach somewhere.
I posted this. You can listen to this show from anywhere. You know, you don't have to be in the Northern Colorado area. You can be all over it. Another bonus ugly. All right, so I do these short takes now. I'm working on doing more of these. They're just 1 minute hits. They're called the whole minute, although they've been a little more than that. I can't shut up, Angel. You know how I go.
Your first one was like 46 seconds.
You're watching them that closely, and you know the time.
Well, I mean, when you say it's a minute, I'm looking. Is it a minute? Oh, 46.
You're one of those guys.
A little short, and then you go over, and it's like, oh.
You're the time police.
This guy a microphone. He just likes to talk.
What are you, a time cop?
No.
Like in Time Cop?
Time Cop.
All right, so I posted the video. I put it up on YouTube as well, and you're going to love this comment. So one of the things I said about Kelsey and the love tap to Andy Reid, the most adorable thing I've ever seen, actually, now that I think about
it. More adorable than him and Taylor?
Yes, I think it's more adorable. I said it was a moment of frustration. This is a Swiftie, I'm guessing. Uh-oh. So when he grabs Taylor and shakes her while yelling in her face, that will also be a moment of frustration for him.
When did that happen?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you don't. These are the Swifties now. You don't watch football. You don't understand that these dudes in pads that are trying to rip each other's face off and win and complete greatness get a little aggressive with each other once in a while.
That's different than domestic violence.
Right.
Which, I mean, the NFL has a history.
Yeah, but go ask Tanner. He's like, lock him up. Send Travis Kelce to, you know.
Put him in timeout.
Alcatraz. You know?
Goodness. Put him in one of those casino jails.
Right. So when he grabs Taylor and shakes her while yelling in her face, that will also be a moment of frustration for him. Huh?
If that happens, I haven't seen that.
But what? He barely nudged a coach that almost fell down because he lost his balance, and
no,
he admits
he barely nudged a 64-year-old man.
Yes.
What's wrong with this guy?
It's not that big a deal.
He's a football coach.
They're all rough and tough, man. Andy Reid.
How they do it?
Won the punt, pass, and kick competition when he was like five, man. You don't think that man can take danger?
They slap each other on the backsides for fun. Like, that's football. It's basketball. It's football.
B-Rad says, what's ugly is the Rams made three shots in the second half. Three! And Patrick Cartier got hurt. Get ready for an early exit in March.
Early exit for conference tournament, or?
They're getting in. They've got to get in, right? There's no... Kevin will tell us that they're getting in. How many teams are getting in?
At 68.
No. Thank you. Mountain West.
Three or four. I'm leaning more towards three at this point.
And that's not CSU right now.
No.
That's Utah State. That's New Mexico. That's the Aztecs or the Broncos. And UNLV's not out of this. So don't give me the whole, it's basketball. Relax. It's basketball. I don't want to hear that ever again. I don't want to hear it's baseball from Bud Black. I don't want to hear it's basketball. I don't want to hear that's sports. I don't want to hear. You can say that about everything, Angel. You can say that about literally anything. You cheat on your taxes. That's taxes. You rob a bank. That's something. That's something I'm doing. That's life. You know, that's life. 25 minutes after the hour. I'm a little feisty today. I'm very disappointed in that loss. And so, Rams administration, don't be mad at me. I love you. I'm talking about you today. But I'm frustrated. We'll be right back.
season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T SportsNet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Unfortunately, we have to get rid of that rejoin from the wonderful Jenny Kavnar. She's the new play-by-play voice for the Oakland A's. Again, congratulations to her. 31 minutes after the hour. Poll question of the day. What was the loss was worse, the Wyoming loss or the San Diego State loss for the Rams? Let's catch up with Kevin in just a moment. Get a text here on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Maybe the Rams should go outside today and play wiffle ball. Is that because they whiffed, or is that because you think they should do the kickball thing again? See, this is why you wouldn't air that story if they would have lost to San Diego State after the kickball thing. Nobody would have known about that, Angel, if they would have lost. Because people, even though they've won four in a row since then, they're going to go back to maybe you should focus more on basketball. Maybe. I don't know, 32 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle coming up next from the Fort Collins, Colorado. When he was at that game last night, we'll get his thoughts. We'll get an update, hopefully, on Patrick Cartier as well. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to the Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Thirty-six minutes after 11 o'clock. It is the day of love for those of you that honor the holiday, Valentine's Day. I don't know if the Rams are feeling the love today. Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, first off, more importantly, what's going on with Patrick Cartier? What can you tell us about his injury from last night?
Yeah, obviously we'll get into the game and everything, but you know, if I'm a CSU fan, that's my number one concern, not the game itself or how it went down, is Patrick Cartier. He, you know, jumped on, you know, to contest a shot, I think it was a Jaden Ledee one, and landed on his, you know, on Ledee's foot, which, you know, you see a lot in basketball, kind of rolled that ankle. We'll see. Nico Medved said post-game basically doesn't know. He'll have to, you know, they flew back last night, so probably, you know, maybe right about now, gain some tests and stuff to see how it is. You know, he was kind of gingerly moving on it, but walking with ice last night, but you know, I don't know if you can put much into that, good or bad. So really no answer yet, but that to me is the biggest, I guess, question mark moving forward for this CSU team, because if Cartier were to either be out or be limited moving forward, that significantly changes things.
No question about it, and I know you'll be on it updating us via Twitter or at the Coloradoan, so we'll be keeping our eyes out for your stuff throughout the day, throughout the week, and whatever that looks like. In that sequence too, Kevin, you know, Tell me what you heard or saw, because on the broadcast they were saying, you know, and I didn't really catch Patrick Cartier in that moment, but before he got hurt, the broadcast said, hey, he's looking over at the bench saying, do not take me out, do not take me out, I can do this. And it was like 10 seconds after that, he goes down and gets hurt. Ledee makes the shot, of course, and then that was that. Is that how that went down? Was he, like, a couple of seconds before he gets hurt, was he, like, pushing to make sure, hey, keep me in this game?
I actually hadn't noticed that one. It makes sense that he would have, because you know, at that point, CSU was kind of juggling foul trouble with their bigs and having to do some of that, you know, lineup manipulation to try and keep guys, you know, available. So yeah, he may well have done that. I did not catch that myself, but that makes sense for Pat. He competitive dude, doesn't like to leave the floor, especially. You know, at that point, you know, CSU was still in it at that point.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense to me. You know, I didn't see it, but it makes sense to me that he was saying, you know, let's just try and ride this out, see if we can make something happen. So yeah, just unfortunate. You know, those are just, obviously you hate all injuries, but it's just kind of your normal basketball fluky injury of you land wrong, and you just hope it's not serious for, you know, for from every angle, really.
Yeah, and that whole obviously you're rooting for him first and foremost. That's the most important. And then for the basketball side, you're rooting for him to be available to this team coming up with some huge games still to go in the regular season. But in that kind of, you know, span of a minute or two or three, Joel Scott fouls out. Patrick Cartier goes down with the injury. Nico Medved shortly after that gets a technical. He's furious. That right there was kind of felt like the second half, just everything boiling over at that point.
Yeah, I mean, there was that 2 minute stretch that basically ended the game. You got, I think the order was Pat Cartier gets hurt, Joel Scott comes in with four fouls. Scott may have been right before it where he fouled out, which I think would be why Cartier was saying, you know, make sure leave me in, you know, no matter fouls, I'm gonna try and ride this out. And then Bimba fouls out, and that left CSU with literally no bigs because Kyle Evans, you know, kind of the fourth big, is out with a concussion right now. So literally Joe Palmer was playing the five at the end because of that crazy set of circumstances. You know, and so by that point, you know, the game was over. There's no way CSU was going to be able to come back with that. And yeah, that the technical for Medved was, you know, it came after the really ticky-tack foul on Bimba. I think it was partially that call itself and partially accumulation of calls / non-calls that he felt, you know, at San Diego State. I have a really great seat right behind the CSU bench, so you hear and see a lot, and you can really tell, you know, where that frustration was mounting. So, yeah, like I said, the Bimba foul was, you know, the one that pushed him over the edge, but it was more accumulation, I think, than that call itself. So, yeah, that three-minute span there, you know, was, you know, from roughly 8 minutes ago to about 5 minutes ago, basically ended the game, and, you know, kind of allowed that San Diego State tidal wave to really just crash over CSU.
So, Kevin, talk to us. Let's talk about not the obvious one yet, but the last game the Rams beat, when they beat San Diego State, I was so impressed with how they weren't letting Ladie even get the ball in the paint. It wasn't that they were stopping him. They weren't even letting him get the ball. What changed in your mind from that game to this game? Because obviously he dominated in this one, 27 points for him and 6 boards.
Yep, some of it just flat out, he won some battles that maybe he didn't in Fort Collins. You know, CSU was trying to front him on some stuff, and basically he was able to manipulate, you know, basically body positioning to win those battles, and also better entry passes from his teammates. Again, it, you know, it's sort of the two sides of the coin of, you know, did CSU miss some defensive, you know, positioning battles, you know, and get beat? Yeah, but did San Diego State play better in that way? I think that's also true. But yeah, Ladie, it's funny because first half he was kind of non-factor because he had some foul trouble, sat a lot. You could tell he kind of just sat on the bench stewing there. He came out a man possessed. And, you know, I know there's a lot of frustration from, you know, both inside the program and outside the program for CSU that they didn't stop him, but the dude's also an All-American. You know, there's a reason he's averaging, you know, 20 and 10. This ain't the first team he's beat up a little bit. So I think CSU obviously did not do some things well, but I think it would also be, you know, remiss to not sort of tip your cap to Ladie and say, you know, that dude balled out.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, I've had a chance to watch a lot more San Diego State the last couple of weeks because they've been on some of the big networks there. So, I mean, you just see it. This guy is ridiculous. I'll be curious to see what happened, how he does at the next level. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Coloradoan. All right, the big one, Kevin, 11 points in the second half. Now, obviously, doesn't take a scientist to know they missed shots. Why were they missing so many shots?
Yeah, I think a lot of things happened. One, just, you know, San Diego State, they can overwhelm you defensively with their physicality and length, and especially, you know, that's where some of Medved's frustration came from. He felt like CSU was getting called for, you know, some of those pushes and pulls, and San Diego State wasn't. And, you know, they play, the Aztecs has played so physically that if they have some wiggle room, it gets really overwhelming. And CSU let it overwhelm them. They got sped up at times. I think what San Diego State, when they're clicking, makes you do is you kind of doubt yourself. You know, you doubt if you're taking the right shot, you doubt if you're making the right pass, and just that kind of split indecision lets them be in position, and obviously it can affect shots and whatnot. I think we saw some of that last night where CSU maybe passed up pretty good shots, for whatever reason. And again, that could be that doubt. And then, flat out, it's basketball. You just miss some. And I think the other thing that really affected the offense was, back to the other end, CSU got destroyed on the glass, 12 offensive rebounds in the second half for San Diego State. And so if you're taking the ball out of the basket, San Diego State gets to set up their defense, and even if they don't get a turnover, they just really knock CSU out of their flow. Whereas in the first half, CSU was clean, and even if it's not true fast break points, you're able to, just get into the flow of your offense really smoothly. That's what CSU did in the first half and couldn't do in the second half because they could not grab a rebound. So I think that's a really huge factor. If you're just playing slow, full court, against their full court defense, I should say, and having a play that, really methodical offense, that's hard to do against them. So I think that was a massive factor.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point because, when you're getting those boards, you're able to kind of get rolling, getting some momentum. Maybe you're outrunning, outpacing a defense, and that wasn't really happening, especially in that second half. I mean, Kevin, it just felt like once the Aztecs got rolling, once they got within a couple of points, and certainly once they took that lead, it was a stranglehold on the Rams. Like they were in quicksand, and every time they moved, they just sunk deeper and deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not the first time that's happened at Viejas, where it kind of just swallows you up because it gets really loud. Both the team and that crowd really feed on those type of plays, the offensive rebounds and things like that. And yeah, it can just feel like it's overwhelming, and it really did last night. And then, there's just kind of the normal human confidence factor of, when basically everything goes wrong for the first 10 minutes of the second half, it's kind of hard to pull yourself out of that funk, and that happened to CSU for sure.
All right, so we know how frustrating the Wyoming loss was, and that was tough because you played well, like, 90% of that game. You're up 11 with something about 11, Kevin, and that's a weird number for CSU at this point. But you're up 11 against Wyoming with a minute left or whatever it was. You lose. I remember talking to Coach Medved, and he's like, honestly, I'm not, I was mad, but it was one of those things where we played a great basketball game, save for 1 minute of that game, and we can work on that. This one's a little bit different. It's an entire half where your offense really isn't there, and then you're getting one guy really dominate. How will the Rams, or how do the Rams, where do they go from here, I should say? A lot of season still. I mean, 7 games or so left. They're still right there as far as they could still win the regular season championship. They're going to need a lot of help, but they're only, 2 games back? They have a game against Utah State. So that is interesting still, but where are you at right now? They got a big one on the 17th of February against Utah State.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the good thing is, most of the teams they're in that jumble with, CSU still plays, so it's sort of a control your own destiny, at least in some ways. If CSU beats Utah State on Saturday, like you said, right back in the mix. Obviously, New Mexico, Nevada, UNLV are all in that mix too. CSU plays all of them, so you can handle a lot of things on your own, and really. People kind of yell at me when I say this, but the formula hasn't changed of win at home and steal some on the road. Now, again, this was a big missed opportunity, especially considering a 14-point halftime lead. That could have really swung things in CSU's favor if they had won that game. But it doesn't eliminate the possibility. It's a missed opportunity. You obviously have to go beat Utah State at home, but again, that would have been part of the plan, win or lose last night. So, in some ways, things don't change. But big picture, this team has responded. This is what college basketball is. I know, everyone wants to look at the most recent game as, sort of the be-all, end-all. But, CSU bullied San Diego State 2 weeks ago. That game still exists. That's still on the resume. So, take them big picture as best you can. And like we said, kind of at the start of the segment, to me, the biggest thing is just Pat Cartier. If he's able, if he's fine relatively and able to be himself, then I still feel good about this team. If he's out, for a significant amount of time, I'm really concerned. But as far as the play itself, there aren't many teams that do what San Diego State does, and there aren't many places that do what Viejas does. So overall, you know, it's a huge missed chance last night for CSU. But I still feel basically the same about this team, big picture, as I did before, and honestly, probably about as I would have if they had held on to win.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not the loss, I think, at all, really, that bothers me, at least. It was just kind of the way that second half went down. Coming up, as we said, Utah State at home and then at New Mexico. So it doesn't get any easier, but you find a way to beat Utah State, and that almost erases the trip to San Diego State.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, when you look at how the game happened, it really eats at you as a fan. You know, that's why there's so much, you know, reaction right now. But if you had told people entering the week, you're going to lose at Viejas, but you're going to beat Utah State at home, most people would say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, you know, go take care of that and do that. And I think you leave this week, feeling fine. Not as good as it could have been, but not bad. But that's going to be a huge test Saturday. Obviously, Utah State is really, really good. They have a phenomenal big man in Gray Osabor, which, again, is another reason why it's like, oh boy, if Pat Cartier is out.
Right.
And, if Kyle Evans is still out too, CSU would be really, really, really thin up front. So, I'll get an update on Cartier, hopefully at practice Thursday. But again, I keep going back to that, to me, is the thing to worry about.
Kevin, if Patrick Cartier is healthy, and we're hoping so much for that to be true, and can even play coming up in a couple of days, what is it, you're looking at this as far as a percentage chance, and I'll break here in a second, as far as percentage chance that the Rams don't get in to March Madness, what percentage chance would you throw out there today, right now?
Oh, right now, I still think CSU is, 85% to get in.
Okay.
So, I'm still feeling, they're not on the bubble. They're not near the bubble right now. It would take a couple more losses to be in bubble territory. So, that could happen, obviously. But no, right now, CSU is firmly in the field.
All right. Good to hear. Tough battles coming up. They have to take care of their business, as Kevin said, at home in the confines of Moby Arena. Kevin, my man, appreciate you. I was reading your stuff last night, this morning. It's my therapy. So thank you for everything you do, my man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. The scary part, I guess, for CSU, obviously the Patrick Cartier thing, but you lose to San Diego State. Now you're home against Utah State and you're at New Mexico. So you've only got a couple losses left here that you can lose. And you darn sure don't want it to happen. Bam, bam, two in a row. 11:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
We got a big UNC Bears game coming up tomorrow night here. We'll have that here for you on KFKA. The Bears had a nice weekend. We'll see if they can keep it going. One of those big-time supporters of UNC, the local prep scene, community, big part in Friends of Baseball, that's Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Just met up with Ryan, actually, last week, going over some new ideas coming up this spring. And again, he's just one of those guys. He's following all the stories, whether it's sports stories or just local stories throughout Northern Colorado. And that's why I say, when you're in the insurance mode and you're thinking of making a change or an upgrade to your plan, or you're doing some information gathering, check out Ryan Hicks at Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County. They're also the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance Group, 970-674-8825. Second hour, we're going to get into the top story of the day. And the love tap that was heard or seen around the world. Do we have updates on that? Is it getting worse? Was there more to be said about the love tap? We're going to talk about it coming up next. Don't go anywhere.